uniquely those stories out there. But if they drop away from them, and there's a way that you can tell people who may be out and you can think about whether you are really trusting in Christ. And those who are right to say, I want you to be that way. I want you to know whether you really trust Christ, because you can think you have and you really have it. When you close your eyes in death and you're working against God, you will not face him as Savior, but you will face him as church. You will be. So change lives to make it clear what that true, genuine faith looks like. And you can get to the true faith in the past. If you're working, if you're just doing love in one's life is bad and tender. Let's bring our message here to be in verse 14 and Jesus. What this is, my brothers, is someone's face to be all things of some force. And that face says, it's the face that does not have love. If a brother or sister is full of clothes and not being dead food, and one of you says, then your face be worn and sealed without giving you the things to the body of yourself. So also, faith by itself, if it does not have words, it can. But someone will say, your faith is not at work. Show your faith the part in your work. And I will give you my faith by my words. You believe that God is one? Congratulations. You know what? Even if it's unclear, do you want to become the sort of person that faith apart from works is easy? Was not this what made our Father justified by works when he offered us his son out from the water? You see, the faith was active along with his works, and faith was presented by his works. And the scripture fulfilled the deal of Abraham believed God, and so counted him as righteousness, and he called the name of him. You see that faith is justified by words and not by faith alone. In the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by words when she received the messengers and she did not by no way? For as the Bible apart from the Spirit of this, so also the Spirit apart from words is dead. Let's look at the Lord. Follow me. This morning, Lord, we believe your word to be eternal. We believe your word to be true because it is your word. You give to us through the apostle James. And Father, we can look this morning at the topic of a faith that doesn't have works. Father, you say that our faith has no value before you. And we will be alone in it today. And Father, mine before him this morning is that there are individuals here in this building, the one of others in our community, who claim to have faith in Christ. But Father, that's all it is. It's being broken. And the reality is, we see no love for Christ. We see no changed heart, no changed life. We don't see the possession of love that always possesses the human race. And Father, to be in this place, the people don't have true faith. And the reality is, that you are dead, but you have special protection. Lord, I pray this morning that by your word and spirit will take it, you will open eyes and will see about the standing of you. That you will help them to see whether their faith is genuine or whether it's false. And by doing so, let them look to Christ. To you, trust in you. Father, I call upon you now to do this because I can do it. No one else can do it. But Father, you have promised to work with your word by your spirit to do what no man can do, bring you from dead to life and Christ. We
raise your kingdom of darkness in the kingdom of peace. Father, I hold you in this house. Bless me. Bless me. I want to read you a quote from Martin Luther. Martin Luther is turning modern in this book. And on October 31st, 1517, Luther nailed 95 pence on the door of the church in Wittenberg. And that begins Luther's war on the practices of the Roman Church. And ultimately, how did man consider the existence of God? As far as we know, Luther is committed to the truth, and we are justified by faith alone. But many people begin to believe that because we are saved by faith alone, that works have no place in the earth's life. And the Jewish people look well to know what Luther says. Luther said, we all say, in a living, busy, active mindset, this faith is impossible for it not to be doing good works itself. It never asks whether good works are done. It does them before the questions be asked. It's always doing them. The Lord does not do such works to save them. But it is impossible to separate works from faith. Why are we comfortable as separated seeds and lives from God? This is exactly what Jesus is about here. That we are good by, but God is in the third time of God. And faith that works, and faith that is living, and faith that is active. If this is not true, we will be getting paid. This person is unbelievable. Trying to help us to understand or to identify what those false things look like. Could these people describe them that you're wandering from the faith? Jesus said, those who wander from the faith, these people are wandering, they don't work. So when there's one point that claims faith is wrong, that claim is just that it's merely a profession. It's merely a person. It is not the possession of real faith. There's a lie that shows you to God. Of how do we know what is false faith and how do we know what true faith is? And Jesus is saying, true faith does the works of God, false faith does not. It talks about belief, it talks about chosen life, but it never moves to work. So what I want to do today is deal with this. That people call the Jesus Paul, and I didn't say all of that. But I want to tell you the Jesus Paul, and I'll tell you where he is. As James said, I want to tell you the good gospel about people, Abraham, and Moses. And that you will be here. James said, in verse 4, you see that a person is justified by works and not by we believe that one is justified by faith apart from the work of the law. We are justified by work and not by faith alone. And Paul says we believe that one is justified by faith and not by the work of the law. What is a faith is by faith, our forefathers according to the faith. For Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. For what does he do? Abraham believes God is guilty, for he has a moment of righteousness. Now, to the one who works, his ways are not as he did, but as he did. And to the one who does not work, but trusts in the justified from God, he is faith. It's a counts as righteousness. That's coming off. literally next door to salvation. This whole passage. So people approach Jesus and say, James and Paul seem to be wrong. It's not. Because they're talking about two reasons. Paul talks about how does someone feel relationship with him? How's the person who is a sinner, who is a law for his knowledge, how do they become a Christian? How do those things move ahead? And all of them, they all work. They all show and praise God, that church is here. About the prayer, about Bible studies. They simply believe that God's good and gracious, and that he can turn everything necessary to make that person acceptable in his kingdom. And what has he done? He has finished the term the Lord Jesus earned. He put his own son to death on the cross to pay the penalty of sin that all sinners deserve. And he raised his son from the dead. Promise an eternal life to all those who will not work, but who will trust God who justifies the unrighteous. All of this all becomes relationship with God. James, you see that truth. He's talking about how someone comes to relationship with God. What he's trying to ask me, how do you know that you have a relationship with God? How do you know that you truly believe that we are only what God requires? How do you know you've really done that? The same thing is true. If you truly believe, there will be everything works. You don't want to raise it as you believe. But if you truly believe in a relationship with God, it will be evident, it will be proven by God working in your life. This is what she's saying. And so, I want you to explain this way, maybe you'll get it. For the word on the judgment. Because when we see before God, it's all Jesus, the Father asks you, why did you see that child being in the heaven? And Jesus responds to you, because I've died with you, and I've been raised from the dead to be the Lord. And he has touched the man for that salvation. And the Father goes, I'll say, well, Jesus, I don't know. But Spirit has truly trusted in what you do. And he will tell you to look at that. You can see things from, and you know how old God was. He could have never done this. But these words, these acts of love, these acts of love towards God, love towards his neighbor, these things do express. He trusts me. He belongs to me. Because only those who have been about me can do this. Works. That's what it works. All the work I've been saying is to get to heaven. They're the proof that I'm trusting the only way to heaven. Tell you that Jesus will be putting this in pressure and rest. So let's be in pressure. The verse 21, for verse 2, do you want to be strong, you boom person? You're a full learner. Do you still need to know that place the far from worship? Okay. First of all, was not Abraham our father, but Abraham, justified by works, when offered up his son on the altar? You think that faith was acted along with his words, and faith was completed by his words. And the principle is fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called and created. He's not talking about our mutual relationship with God. What is the source of that fortune that he was present? And true faith is marked or identified by activity and by works. So verse 18 says, you have faith in our works, show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Faith is only mentioned by a demonstration of the life. So she shows us to see the whole time. And Abraham demonstrates he has faith in God by his obedience to what God told him to do. Let's start in verse 22 and work our way backwards. She says the scripture was fulfilled that says Abraham believed God and was counted to him as righteous. If you're up on your Old Testament history, and you're not, all at once, don't worry. If you think God encountered Abraham, who was a moon worshiper, you find out that ultimately, God approached him
that work for me.
And as a result, as God told me, the verses of Jesus' victories, when you see the mark, everyone will believe the Lord. They will be believe what God told them. And it's time to give them instructions. This beginning relationship happens. God comes down, He makes a promise to Abraham, I'm going to bless you to your own son, even though you're very old, I'm going to be your own offspring, and I'm going to take a child, I'm going to bless the Lord. God says, every time he opens up, he gives God and his word, that's what that means. But Jesus is living in the name of God. You know how we know Abraham really believes God? Not because he just says there's Jesus, but when we look at Abraham's life, we see that critical moment in life, Abraham does what God calls upon him to do. So notice, Abraham didn't do a lot of good things, and God would get all these people. He's good enough to be the person out and bless the world. I will do something good for them. That's not what happened. Abraham is working in the moon. God comes down and says, I'm going to achieve this in love because they will be, and I'm going to make a promise to them. And bless them. When God told Abraham that, he said, I believe. And God said, because you believe, because you trust in me, I think you are a righteous person. You are righteous, but because you believe God, you are righteous. But see, after the end of this relationship, it became God's child when we began to see Abraham's active on this belief. And that's what James points out in verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? And what is he saying? Proven or vindicated by works? And his faith, in verse 2, was complete by works. What trouble there is yet, verse 21, when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar. The Lord has gathered. Now you know your numbers well, right? James didn't come back to his history. So why is that important? Well, Abraham did not provide, you know, well, Abraham obeyed, so I will find the righteous. Abraham believed God first. And that's why they believe their trust in God. God is truly righteous. And we know you believe God at that moment because later on when God called him to sacrifice his own son, Abraham offered out on the altar. He didn't do it. No, the church burned up. And he didn't think God told him to do it. Remember, Jesus said the one who was called by Testing, and on the altar, it proved whether or not it's true. God is trusting in us. In fact, it's an Abraham, and it's an Abraham, if you're out of the Lord, to take your son, your only son, who you love, and go to the land of Moriah. And all of them there is a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall go. And then verse 9, and as Jesus told him, which God told him, Abraham did the altar, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand, and took him out of the father's son. But the angel of the Lord called him from heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. You can try to lay your hand on the boy, or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not reproached him, your own son. So God put Abraham's faith in him. And Abraham obeying God proved that he said what he had. So James is making the same oath. That all we have is to rely on Jesus. But the reality is our life denies the Lord. We have no proof that what we're saying has been true. Because if we truly believe when God does ask us, there will be obedience to what we take to do. Our faith will be proven true. That's why it's because God, if he is true statement, will continue to watch that to help us and aid us and enable us to obey what we call it. We see this in verse 22 when he says, you see that faith was acted along with his works. So it wasn't just faith, it wasn't just works. but we're trusting God that it will be action or obedience to what God called Abraham to do. And he says that his faith was completed by what God had told him. And therefore, the scripture will reveal Abraham believed God and was called to him. I like what one person put in the Bible. One college said, had there been no word, Abraham would have not been justified. But that would have been because the absence of words would have meant that no faith. In our lives, if there is no evidence of obeying God, we know we're not saved. Not because we have done things, but the lack of action reports that we do not possess genuine faith. First, we read this one. He says, it's the faith which produces words which help. The words do not save us, but the faith which will not produce words is a faith that will only be and cannot lead us to faith. Also, Paul, when you look at last week, the relationship of 5 or 6, from Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision must be in that but one. Faith working through one. Not even have faith, but faith that works itself out in this one. So, for instance, he believes God is trained in righteousness, but then because the true beliefs are who he respected, he is faith. The second one is in the same way, was not also raised the prophecy, justified by works, which received in the future, seeking to have by another word. Now, I think this section is in verse that is in this passage. You know that you do not teach you. That's ordered in the head we have to be recorded. You know that? Look at verse 5. And in the same way, was not also recognized to what? The prophecy. Was all the rest of the prophecy justified by work? Now, you just think about it. What's the work of a prophet? You think that he's the thing by what you do, you make it for him? They don't know that he's talking about how someone become a Christian. It's not about being good. Because if you break into the problem, what's on a resume for bringing God's people? So what he's talking about? What he's talking about is that you remember Rahab and Joshua changed. Joshua had been spied out of 5 stones in Jericho. Because they were fixing the temple. And the spies came and ultimately they came up and wrote out of the house. The ultimate team bowed out and decided to come to blow out the city and build this social town. And these five each other wrote out the power and wrote out the gift of the community. And right now, they're from the middle of the year. The five said, you'll not tell the king about how we came here, how we let it go, and which way we went. And we found the token of the city, and we spared their name. And the Lord wrote out the king. Believe the word of God in those times. She even believed what God told her. She said, I believe what she said. She said, she fell down the wall. She told her how it changed. She put the scars on the outside of the window to believe what they told her. She asked me that. The Bible says that because he received this message, he was a person of faith. Her belief in God was proven by the willingness to act out when he was responsible for it. It's not just on the interview of these two people. We don't have time to look at it. But in Hebrews chapter 11, the writer of Hebrews makes many examples of people who were before faith. But they didn't believe they acted. They were obedient. In verse 4 of Hebrews 11, by faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice to be. In verse 7, Noah being warned by God concerning the beast and a man, and ready to the earth, constructed an ark. God told him to be a flood, and Noah didn't just say, well, I believe it's going to be a flood, God. I'm going to go home and say that. No, he started building a boat. Because they don't really believe what God told him. Also, Abraham, of who was this child and all these things being connected. He admitted that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which he did receive him back. Verse 22, by faith, when Moses was born, he knew much from the past. Verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was grown up, refused to call the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be ashamed of the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. Verse 27, by faith, Moses left Egypt, being not afraid of the anger of his enemy, for he endured his sin in the invisible. By faith, Moses kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood so that the story of the firstborn might not escape. It goes on and full straight out in verse 31. By faith, Christ the prophet who did not sin was those who were disobedient because he had given a freely welcome to his promise. So you think these are people of faith? How do we know they're the people of faith? Because they were people who acted upon what they believed. We simply get satisfied with that. I believe in Jesus. We must ask upon what that means. It means following Him. It means doing what He tells. And this brings us to our capital. Faith is what we worship in. How do we know the object is genuine or false? We may say the next. It's based upon worship daily. If our faith has worked, it's a lie. It's Jesus. It's true. But if our faith does not have works, it is even dead, it is useless, it is feeble, it has no value before God. And so the next question I ask you is, how do you know if it works for us? It requires self-trust. This requires us to look into our attitudes and our actions and our thoughts and to see, is my life reflected someone who is doing something wrong? I don't say about how I live, how good or bad my performance is, but my performance points to whether I truly trust in Christ. A friend put a sermon by Spurgeon that gave these certain characteristics to someone who is marked by an ass. These are the works that can be put in our faith in and true faith in our faith. I'll give you one of these. The first one works for Jesus. Works for Jesus. You see, if we truly believe in Christ, we will be marked by a life of repentance. Spurgeon said, you have believed, but have never repented of your sins, and beware of your belief. I want you to truly trust in who Jesus is, who is pure and holy, and has all patience with sin, and just say, well, I believe in that man, but I'm going to love and serve everything that's opposed to one. Turning over new leaves that makes it right with him, but it is repentance which marks him as the truth. So if we truly believe there will be works of repentance, there will be change in our life. Spurgeon loved that works of personal religion. If we've been changed by Christ, if we truly have seen him as the treasure of the universe in which we are believing, we see him as more valuable than anything in the world. And the result will be a desire to be with the community of people. So if your life marked for that joy of this prayer, if your life marked by communion with God in His Word, if your life marked by a desire to be with God's people, people will truly come to embrace Jesus. Why would we not continue to embrace Him in His Word, in your prayer, and your meeting with other people? They're not going to be perfect, but they are in there ought to be some love for Christ displayed in your life in this world. If not, you are to begin to question whether your faith is a simple and confession of this, or whether it is genuine faith that confesses Christ. This person is wrong, and of course, there are the words of the Holy Spirit. This makes a very important distinction before verse 4. When he makes a point, he says, we do not know the priesthood of the world is enmity with God. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes an enemy of God. Jesus does away with his rule when he controls the spirit of the world
with intimacy and being in complete relationship with Christ as an enemy. Jesus has to happen. And if you love the world, you are being faithful. It's pretty hard to do. We can all be faithful. I've heard about the four people before. And three of the four, when I fought with them, said, I'll leave you. But the wrong kind of thinking when you see church and you love Christ. That's not good. And this is where you know Jesus is coming today. And I know you can see that. Don't be perfect. You don't become perfect on your own problems. But when you see church in Christ, where He is, with you, it will not. The problem is we need to work hard. The problem is we need to go back and up the very fundamental thing we need to do with you. We need to do with Christ. You need to do it for us, not others. Think about the truth that you borrow the most from your home and talk to your children. And sometimes, there's no better solution. When supper time gets here, you know we're eating pork. The children, the next year, tomorrow. The next year, tomorrow. You've done this work, you've got that work. You can sit. There are books, there are movies, there are food, teacher. You'd be wrong. It's good. And you know what's good because that's happened. That's not me. It doesn't happen all the time. But you know what? When you know pretty leaves out of our wind bring line to that church group. You can say, well, it all got leaves in it. Then those leaves can be alive because you don't know the roots for what gives but the life of the church. You say it's all the certain things. We all try to do good things in order to bring dead spirits to life. But we need the root, and the root is safe. Children of God, John 3:18,
believes in the Son has eternal life. But whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains. Do you see Christ as the only hope for sinners? Do you see yourself as qualified for that salvation because you are the chief of sinners? Your life is nothing but a record of doing wrong against God, of doing life your own way. Quit doing that and look to Christ and see that simply by believing that Jesus' death on the cross provides the provision of forgiveness of sin and the complete resurrection from the dead, He can raise all those from the dead and trust you. That, dear friends, is how we become like a God. You know how we do it? What's the key to you that you lost? Your love and affection? What is true? It's a change. You feel it's cold at your own home. If you're not going to just want to listen, you need a mindset for my message. Father, thank you. And thank you for salvation. It's true and all. But Father, we also know that we can be deceived this evening that we have to spend darkness. So Father, I pray that we dealt with this evening this morning, we help our minds to be clear. But I pray no one leading to this evening that by doing the things that we've been around here that doesn't work. Not just the one who works, but the one who chose to be justified by the ungodliness of these fucking terrible projects. But Father, so to make it pitch and pitch and pitch. And help to change their love and affection in Christ, and to produce the love for neighbor. But our folks say we see that coming in, and we look to Christ, not to try harder, but to look to Christ. Father, I pray your beautiful words you told us to build this church. Amen.